Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grez.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we are covering Robot Wars, The Sixth Wars, Heat L, The Final Heat!
I am Grizz.
He is Grizz.
I am Grizz.
I am the Grizz Time Champions.
I am Grizz.
We are sane, rational people, and this is the fourth episode of a recording, and neither of us have had a great night's sleep.
Mm-mm.
So, anyway, Heat L, Final Heat, and this does have a... We have 8 robots left to get through energy.
Oh, some of them definitely are.
Yeah. I have a feeling you and I are really going to disagree on a particular robot here.
Okay. Right, well, let's crack on with it then and we'll see. From East Sussex, seated number 2, Bigger Brother.
Yep, the previous runner-up looks in good shape. Certainly looks better than the last two fights we saw it in.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? Foit.
Foit. That's foit. You got to foit me.
It's foit night.
It's foit night. From West Sussex, Killer Carrot 2.
So Killer Carrot 2 is an unusually shaped wedge robot that has a kind of jaw flipper.
Hmm.
The problem is it has a face on both sides, which is really disconcerting.
So it's talking out of its ass.
It's a robot with a kid as part of the team, which I know you love, Grizz.
Mm.
Also, this particular kid appears to be either on the spectrum or have ADHD or something of that nature, which means he is rather enthusiastic, which when I was younger I hated, but now that I am a bit older and have a lot more experience with other people in the spectrum and a bit more open fact I'm on it, I actually can't help but admire him.
He's always been one of those ones that was not being scared of a camera.
No, absolutely not. And you have to give, especially when you compare him to other kids in this particular episode, at least he is very good at communicating.
Yeah, it seems as if, like, Joe Watts has declined.
Oh, Joe Watts is very much going, no, I'm here to fight robots. I'm done being your performing monkey.
Yeah. Because even so much to show that, like, when they were interviewing Killer Carrot 2 in the back, like, as soon as the kid's seen the camera on him, he clearly tried to, like, grab, like, a photo or something that he drew and show it to the camera, but the camera pure panned in on, like, the adult's face of the team, just because he was talking, and you could just see, like, the corner of this picture in the like, the bottom left corner.
Yeah.
And it was like, just ignore the kid.
Yeah.
Which
Anywho.
Is a, which is a rule I live my life by.
Yep.
From Kent, Major Tom.
Now with a giant roll hoop.
Despite the fact that they also say it can't self-write. But isn't that a self-writing mechanism?
In theory, it should be.
Just saying. And from Preston, Reptilion. Take
it's
two.
It's not worth getting its name right. This is a bad robot.
It is right. Reptilion. It's just because we had fucking, what was the other name? Like, we literally had almost the exact same name, like, an episode or two ago.
Yeah, another one.
Reptoron
mean.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Yes. But the only
to the
reason...
point I got them mixed up.
Yeah, I seen this to come out and go, didn't this fight like 2 episodes ago?
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, it's a different robot. The only reason I want to get his name right is because they spend so long talking about this manty fancy little like wheel setup thing that it has where it's like, oh, if a robot comes right at me, I can like do a complete pivot turn around it. And then the strategy is like, I can pivot around it and then like, hopefully, like, claw the side of it open with one of my claws. And it's like, okay, well, you kind of need to move for that to be a thing there, buddy.
This robot... Right, okay. This robot only appears in this episode, in the Iron Maiden's episode, where it is the worst of the three robots in its match, and then represents New Zealand in the qualifiers for the Third World Championship in Series 7.
A hell of a career.
It is a robot that exists.
Yeah, the thing with Killer Carrot is it looks like Thermidor's ugly cousin.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if like Thermidor and all of its like adjacent Thermidor related relatives, they're like, oh, should we invite Killer Carrot? You know, I mean, it is a family reunion after all, and they're like,
it's the redhead step nephew.
Yes. Reptilion ends up
literally, it's a carrot top.
Hey. So I needed more props.
Yeah. Reptilion is terrible, and it just kind of waddles around until it drives into the pit.
Yep.
Killer Carrot.
It's like the funniest thing though. It's like you see Bigger Brother push it into like Mr. Psycho, then you don't see it for 10 minutes, and then it just smash cut, and it's like, oh. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
Just, yeah, anyway. Okay, it's gone. Reptilion's gone. Reptilion's gone. Both of them are gone.
Yep. Also, at the same time, we do see Bigger Brawler's... Now, here's the thing. Is it me or is Bigger Brawler's flipper a lot weaker this series?
It does kind of seem that way. At least in this first fight.
It doesn't threaten an Uther at all this episode.
No. Like, at least in this first fight, I don't know if it's just maybe editing and this is a bit later in the fight and they've probably went Yeet style, like,
yeah.
And they just edits it out. But, yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Like, I mean, granted, you barely ever get to see Bigger Brother in this fight because... We focus so much on Major Tom getting his fucking head panned in by Mr. Psycho.
Oh, Mr. Psycho, he's like, head, I must head. Smash.
Smash head. And he doesn't. We needed Shunt. Shunt loves
Shunt
a good
knows.
Head smash.
Shunt, yep, he gives good head.
What does everybody want?
So...
Yep, and now we finally get it. The gimmick drop zone.
Oh, the worst part is, if it had just been bowling balls, I could have gone fine.
Could you imagine being at this recording, seeing that happen, and then realize 20 minutes probably had to go by between fights for them to clear all the balls out of the arena?
Yeah, because they put tennis balls and golf balls in.
Yeah. Tennis ball? Why tennis ball? At least golf balls are solid. If I throw a golf ball at you, that's gonna cause some damage. Throw a tennis ball at you, like you may just go, ow.
Yeah.
Ugh, anyway, so it's finally started. The gimmick drop zone is here.
I mean, it's not even... We're the last heat. It's not even like it's... At least give it a season before you start getting stupid.
Well, just wait till we get golf clubs. Ah, funny. Yeah, so essentially nothing happened in that first fight. It was Dullsville Central.
It's particularly coming off the back of last week, where all the battles were at least short, and the week before, where the battles were at least all phenomenal, even if they went to judges' decisions.
Yeah. Whatever. Who honestly cares? From Cheshire, Derek 2.
Well, it's... remind me, Derek 1. That was the one that was like a flipper bot, or...
I think so. Wasn't it like a flipper on one side and this saw thing it has on the other?
Yeah, I think so. So...
It's back.
It's back, and... It's
Derek.
To be fair, the saw's better in this.
Yeah. I think it does have a Shreemake as well.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get to show it.
Nope.
From near Bradford. Tridente. Tridente. Tridentate? From Cambridgeshire, Disco Inferno.
Yeah, right, so to try to take to... It's generic tank bot number 37. Literally. It doesn't even look... It doesn't even look like series... Now, the reason we always say Series 2 as opposed to Series 1 is... Series 1, everyone had obviously taken their time building robots. Or if the robot looked a bit shonky, it was like, yeah, fair enough. This isn't even a Series 2 robot. This is a 1994 robot.
Yes. Yep, that's the one.
Anyway, Disco Inferno. It's back and scarier than ever. Oh, that's one thing. Tridentate's scariest feature is its team member who's wearing a mask and dressed like Bagul.
Who's Bagul?
Insidious?
I thought like that was like Red Face. He looks like a member of Kiss that just got bored halfway through putting the makeup on.
Sinister.
Sinister.
Sinister. Okay. Bagul from Sinister.
Right.
I don't know, they all kind of merged together in my head.
Yeah, they were all out about the same time, and yeah. Even I get Sinister and Insidious. I mean, they even sound similar.
I think Sinister's the one that isn't just jump scares.
Hmm.
Anyway, I believe that there is a fourth robot.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
From Hemel Hempstead, Behemoth.
This is a rare instance of Behemoth. Because normally Behemoth, what happens is, it's really impressive, and then the curse!
Yep.
there is something, how to put this, if it hadn't been for what happens between Behemoth and, what was it called? Not Gabriel. The Cherub?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that Cherub match, this is Behemoth's low point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched that match kind of recently, and I can't wait till in 6 years when we get round to covering it.
I mean, in this, Anthony Pritchard is trying so hard to convince us that this version of Behemoth is good.
It's not even that Behemoth is bad, though, is the thing. Like, the age-old thing would say it got a bad draw. Its first match, it got put in against Disco Inferno.
Uh-huh.
And it got bodied.
So what happened? Behemoth flips over Derek. Derek then lands disc first on the floor, shreds the floor up, and then gets down on, hits the side of Behemoth. Then Behemoth gets hit by Disco Inferno. And it does. You just see the entire body of Behemoth go, ow! Ow!
Like, you want to talk about the curse here? Behemoth was lucky to make it through here.
Yeah, like, but it's the anti-curse. Behemoth finally gets a shred of luck. Unfortunately, he gets a shred of itself. Curse,
yes.
Torn off.
Shreds. Like, Behemoth is dead.
Shreds,
like,
you say?
Behemoth is dead in the middle of the arena. Like, cannot move. See, if this was one robot goes through, Behemoth is out. And if fucking Disco Inferno wanted to, it probably could have left Tridentity and left that to last, and Tridentity would have advanced. But it just so happened that Disco Inferno smashed Tridentity first. But, like, I mean, like, look at Behemoth. Its scoop has fallen off. It's...
Yeah!
It's dead in the middle. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Behemoth fully immobile since, like, season 2 when Killatron knocked it out.
Yeah, this is the most devastated it's been.
And that's the other robot that goes through. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. So, you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if some of the damage that was done from this Disco Inferno match is what maybe caused Behemoth to struggle in its next match.
It's almost like it was cursed. So
Derek gets dumped in the pit, and then they go and put Tridentity.
Tridentity smoking by this point.
Yeah. So, like, they go to push Tridentity towards the pit, and it just kind of climbs in itself. It's like, don't worry, I'll take it from here.
Yeah, there's almost just like a, no, I've had enough, lads.
Oh, man.
So,
and then this is honestly, like, so we've got two new tag teams. We can team Tridentity up with Panzer, not the good Panzer from the American ones, but the bad one. And we can put Disco Inferno with Fluffy, and we could call them team has all the right to win in the world, but never does.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E. So, once again, we get this weird thing where a robot that you'd assume a match that would be a final isn't a final. Behemoth versus Big Umbrella.
Yes.
After Behemoth's been pulled back together.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one only time that I will say Behemoth is not at all a victim of the curse!
Oh, no. He was a victim of being put up against a fantastic driver.
Oh, this is quite... Right, so early on, Behemoth is actually in charge of the fight.
Yeah, does pretty well.
And then there is this moment where Big Umbrella gets a flip on Behemoth and then slams them into the wall. And then as Behemoth's kind of recovering a bit, Big Umbrella just catches Behemoth enough that it kind of hops up.
Mm-hmm.
Big Umbrella then, with its flipper still open, traps Behemoth on between its wedge and its flipper. It's a beautiful flip.
Absolutely incredible.
And then they pit Behemoth.
It was perfect.
It is the most... genuinely, look this up. It is aesthetically perfect, this flip.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, it was a very short fight, but goddamn if that wasn't one of the best fights I've seen.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And it absolutely sucks that it has to come at the detriment of Behemoth.
Yeah.
But, and even, like, you know what? They took this one on the chin. Like, they were smiling, they were kind of happy, even though they had just lost, but they were obviously absolutely gutted as well.
There was almost a kind of, you know what, fair.
Yeah. There was no bullshittery.
Yeah.
But... It just sucks to see such a team like Behemoth go out so early. And again, luck of the draw really fucked them here.
So, talking of luck of the draw. Right. Killer Carrot. This fight. At first, so early on in this fight, it's quite... It actually is a little hard to watch because you're seeing this kid's robot be torn to pieces.
Yeah.
Because Disco Inferno is merciless. They just rip chunks off. Though, interestingly, nothing of consequence. It's all just armor pieces.
Yeah, it's superficial.
And then there's this weird moment.
One of the wheels is a bit wonky, but like other than that...
It's not... there's wonky and there's... hanging off.
Yeah.
And then there's this weird thing where Disco Inferno, just unbidden, doesn't even drive on the flame pit, it drives on the small fire blaster.
Yeah.
And suddenly starts circling around it. You're like, okay, that's
something's
weird.
Up.
Okay, that... You then cut back to Killer Carrot living its best life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, wow, I lost weight. This is actually quite cool.
I'm faster.
And then suddenly you cut back to Disco Inferno and it's on fire.
Yep.
And you said, what the fuck?
What happened?
And you're just sitting there going, actually, Big Umbrella versus Killer Carrot would actually be like an interesting thing to build up. What, these two kids' robots.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Refbot puts the fire out, which you're kind of going, did you have to do that?
Probably for health and safety. Something could blow up.
Look at Granny's Revenge the previous week. That was billowing. It was billowing so much black smoke, the Vatican thought it hadn't chosen a pope.
Nice. I know, but like again, like. To go back to the kind of argument of, like, its internals are on fire, something bad could explode, whereas, like, with Granny Revenge being on fire, it is purely...
Just a dummy.
Yeah, it's just purely, like, as you say, a dummy. It's like, nothing bad's going to happen there. And something that I actually did not notice until I just watched it back there, Disco Inferno actually does move away at the end of the fight. I thought Disco Inferno was dead and got saved by the bell.
Judges. If Disco Inferno hadn't started moving in, it's done.
Yeah, I thought it just maybe the match had ended just before the count happened.
And but there is that kind of thing though. There's this weird moment where you're kind of going objectively.
How long
has
was that
to be
in
Disco
real life?
Inferno.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of you going, but at the same time, Killer Carrot took everything they threw at them and was fine.
Yeah.
And actually, by the end of the fight, if you know, it's a bit like the first Triple H Undertaker match. Yeah. One guy won. Doesn't mean they're the one that walks away.
No. Yeah, like, and the fact that I didn't notice that first, like, the first time watching this, like, when Disco Inferno drove away, it's like, ooh, that must have been quite tense. It's like, now it's like, okay, they drove away at the end, like they made ground, because, like, they were just spinning for ages, and, like, okay, that's deemed immobile. But the fact that they drove across the arena, I was like, oh, okay. Because I honestly would have thought they might have given it to Killer Carrot there.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know, Disco just gets it, I think.
Oh, yeah, Disco Inferno.
They got
away with it.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know,
it was squeaky bum time.
Yeah. So.
So then Craig interviews the kid from Killer Carrot.
And this is what makes me like him.
He just goes off of him one, and even Craig is like leaning back like, whoa.
Particularly after, before this, we'd had the big umbrella team, and it was just like, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do well? Yeah. Were you working the flipper? Yeah. Did you happy about the win? Yeah.
Do you give a fuck?
Nah. I'm almost starting to think maybe he's lost interest in Robot Wars, but just has to be there now, and he just doesn't want to be.
I mean, he's almost reaching the age where you stop giving a fuck about everything.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
because he is so much more chilled out and stoic, like, this season, like, he just kind of sits there, like, whereas, like, other times he'd be, like, making funny faces in the camera and stuff like that.
As I said, meanwhile, that said, we haven't got the episode, the part of the episode where, he gets to drive the robot himself.
When's that happen?
There's, like, a kids episode.
Uh-huh.
Where all the kid robot teams, the kids get to drive.
Oh, that's hilarious. I can't wait for that.
And it's a bit like when they have the Iron Maidens event. I think it's Extreme 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where
they went really gimmicky on their bits.
Yeah. So, yeah, the main event, Disco Inferno versus Big Umbrella. Which, it's quite clear that Big Umbrella has learned its lesson.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like it's known that lesson for a long time. Mm. And it's implementing it, like, perfectly. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, this tactic that they have stems all the way back to BattleBots. It's well before well before Robot Wars, well before they fought Hypnodisc, they done this in BattleBots against Mauler, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it's always been like the thick back armor, tank the hits, and then swing round when you get a chance, and use the flipper.
Yeah.
So, but, like, the fact that, like, the thing that I really liked about this was the fact that, like, they showed what this big plate of armor looked like.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that just really kind of adds to it.
And the fact that, they said, Oh yeah, we had a piece of armor plating like this on the back when we fought Hypnodisc. They did not get through it.
No.
This one's twice as thick.
Twice as thick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it just seems as if, like, Disco Inferno came in and it didn't seem to do very much. Also, did you notice, like, as it started, there was a very weird activate. It went 3-2-1 activate, but like there was no kind of like or it, and it felt like the music took forever to start.
Yeah,
it was very silent for like a few moments, and it was like, this is surreal.
Aye.
But it just seemed as if Disco Inferno could not get out of the blocks, and it seemed as if it was still like struggling from like its last match.
And not only that, it was, well, probably because it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, the second you have a fire, unless you replace the entire electronics, which you don't know if they've had time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Disco, like, I mean, again, like, how many times have we spoke about, robots and their reliability? Like, Disco Inferno is just one of these other robots that is always a great robot right up until it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a damn shame for them, in all honesty.
And you actually see, there is a moment where you just see it hits with a spinning disc, and what, well, bigger brother knows exactly the tactic it pulls. It just goes back first, hits, hits, hits. And you see the second that the weapon starts to slow down.
Yep.
There's that moment of Big Brawl going, my turn.
Yep. And then it just starts tossing Disco Inferno all around the arena.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's brutal. But it doesn't seem to be able to do the Uta.
Yeah, it kept lining it up for it. Lining up Disco Inferno for it, and it just... it just didn't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, like, obviously Disco Inferno is a bit of a weird shape, so maybe they were like, it might not go over. But it was weird, and I'm fully inclined to agree with you that maybe, like, something is not right with Bigger Brother. And maybe it might even be down to the point, like, as you says, like, the back panel that they're adding on is twice as thick as the old one. Maybe they had to do something to counteract that weight, and maybe it's having like a smaller bottle with less pressurized flips or something along those lines, because
yeah,
it's not the same as last year.
It's not got that same explosiveness. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, to be honest, this was not that difficult of an episode for Bigger Brother.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Like, their biggest threat probably was Behemoth, purely for the fact that Disco Inferno came into this main event match already injured.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting to see how they do in the next round.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to the next round, which is obviously the semi-finals, which we go into next week, because we're in the end game now.
No, he doesn't come around for another couple of years.
You are hilarious.
That's what I'm here for.
I thought you were here to be an unlikable douche.
No, that just came with time.
So, anywho, we'll just get this up on here. So, the first round battle saw Major Tom and Bigger Brother, former tag team partners, fight against each other in battle.
Yeah, they even brought that up in the episode, which was quite fun.
Shun featured heavily in this episode, appearing in 4 out of 5 battles, only absent for the first melee. Sekiro also featured heavily in this episode, only not appearing during the fight between Killer Carrot 2 and Disco Inferno.
Oh, god damn it.
What?
When Disco Inferno was on fire in the Killer Carrot match, we had every opportunity to say, burn, baby, burn, Disco Inferno.
Oh dear. Big Umbrella became the first robot to boast of having no weaknesses, and one of the few of the robots that did, that actually won a heat. And Major Tom and Disco Inferno had previously appeared in the same episode before in Heat E of Series 4. So, yeah.
Interesting, enlightening as always.
Indeed.
I do enjoy the trivia.
And that's us out of the heat. So we've got our last... we've seen every robot that we're going to see in this series.
Mm-hmm. And you know who we didn't see in this series?
Who?
Arnold Terminator.
But do you know who we have that we can still enjoy?
Who?
Razor, Wild Thing, Firestorm 4, 13 Black, S3, Danton Kia, Hypnodisc, Tornado, Big Umbrella, Dominator 2, Spawn Again, and Terahertz.
And Danton Makaya.
Indeed. And we will see which of those robots reaches the grand final next week.